surround me with your glory and fill me with your love till I overflow.
Let's sing. Pour me out. Come on, sing it like you mean it. Pour me out.
Jubilee, out of Zion, feel salvation. how to get out of your comfort zone. Amen. In the first service, I lay the foundation on this message. I'll be more specific in this second service on how to get out of our comfort zone. Genesis 12 from verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Notice the word, get thee out. Amen. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless thee and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Someone say amen. Amen. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be what? Blessed. God made with Abraham a sevenfold covenant of blessing. God told him, leave where you are. I have something better for you. Amen. Amen. Did Abraham hearken to the instruction to get out of his comfort zone? The answer is yes. Look at verse 4. So Abraham departed. Don't say Abraham departed. As the Lord had what? Spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of where? I'll be speaking, like I said this morning, on getting out of our comfort zone. Every one of us operates at the comfort zone. Most people in life, majority of the people in life stay in the comfort zone. Only very few people adventure or move into what I call the challenge zone or the stretch zone or the growth zone. Most of the time, an average individual, an average person lives predominantly in the comfort zone. That is not the best place to live. Amen, somebody? That is not the place to stay. God created you, designed you to live outside the comfort zone. If you look at the constituent of man, in other words, the makeup, what a man is made up of, you will agree with me that God made you to be a pioneer, not a settler. The way God configured human beings, he did not configure us to abide and remain in the comfort zone. Like I said, people live in various zones. We have what we call the challenge zone or the stretch zone. You have what we also call the panic or the stress zone. Now, the best place to live is the challenge zone. I'm going to be coming to that in a moment. God does not want you to live in the comfort zone. By the way, what is the comfort zone? What do we mean by the comfort zone? The word comfort zone talks about, it's a type of behavior. A comfort zone is a type of behavior. What kind of behavior is this? It is when people only do the things they are not afraid of. Remember, when people do the things they are not what? Afraid of. And when they don't take risk. Listen, if you do things you are not afraid of, if you live a life of no risk or you're not taking risks, you are living the comfort zone. Let me give you another definition of the word comfort zone. The comfort zone is a situation whereby you feel safe and you're at ease. Scripture says in Amos 6 verse 1, woe to them who are at Zion, that trust in the mountain of Samaria. God does not want you to stay in the comfort zone. Deuteronomy 2 verse 3 says, you have circled this mountain long enough. It's time to go what? Forward. Some say forward. Forward. That's why I love the song the choir sings. It's talking about a time of what? Going forward. Tap and say, it's time to go forward. Come on, poke that person. It's time to go forward. Shout it. Say, forward ever. Backward never. Shout it, say, forward ever, backward never. What is the comfort zone? The comfort zone is a psychological state in which things feel familiar to a person and they are at ease and in control of the environment. It's a psychological state in which things feel what? Familiar to a person. And they at ease and in control of the environment, experiencing low levels of anxiety and stress. Ladies and gentlemen, if you live in such a place, you are in the comfort zone. You are staying in the place where, you feel secure, you feel safe, you don't attempt new things, you don't attempt difficult things, you are just contented with what you have and where you are, you are operating the comfort zone. And listen to me, the comfort zone is a place you are familiar with. Abraham was familiar with his native country. That's where he was born, he was raised. Amen, somebody? God says, get out. Say, get out, somebody. He says, get out of what? Your country. Your kindred talks about your native land. Your fathers, your family. Those are areas or places that Abraham was comfortable and familiar. God was tearing his nest. Move out of the comfort zone. Tap your neighbor and say, it's time to move out of your comfort zone. Listen, life begins outside your comfort zone. If you really want to succeed, like I explained in the first service, you must operate outside the comfort zone. Real success, in fact, all the things you ever dreamt of, all the things that, listen, if you really want life to happen to you, the good things of this life are outside the comfort zone. They are not inside the comfort zone. And that's why you have to step out. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you will not die in your comfort zone. Listen to me. Whatever your comfort zone represents this morning, God will put tools and resources into your hands that will encourage and motivate you to getting out into new frontiers in Jesus' name. Amen. Tap your neighbor, say, there are new territories. If Abraham never ventured, you know, God said, I will take you to a land. Say a land, somebody. That I will what? Show you. So he had to leave the familiar place for what? An unfamiliar place. But that place was better. And listen to this. The way we live as human beings, we feel comfortable. Stay in the comfort zone. We don't like things that will stress us. We don't like things that will challenge us. But if you are really going to fulfill your potential, you must live outside your comfort zone. That's what this message is all about. This message is all about challenging you, propelling you to get out. Tap them and say, get out of your comfort zone. Poke your neighbor, say, move out of your comfort zone. Tell him, I say, there's a better life outside the comfort zone. And you will experience it. Say, you will experience it. So, how do we move out of our comfort zone, the comfort zones of our lives, the things we have built around ourselves that, you know, makes us to not want to risk, not want to step out. Amen? So how can you get out? Tap it up and say, there's a way to get out. How do you get out of your comfort zone? The first thing you need to pay attention to if you want to get out of your comfort zone is that you must be ready to confront challenges. Listen, challenges makes a man. Challenges will either make or mar you. Challenges will introduce you to yourself. Challenges will help you to discover the kind of stuff you are made up of. The natural tendency is that people run away from challenges. Listen, my admission or my submission to that is that you are running away from your breakthrough. You are running away from what will help you to discover life on the higher dimension. So tap your neighbor and say, stop running away from listen, we choose the path of least resistance. You know why? We don't want things that will challenge or what? Or stress us. But listen, if you don't face challenges, how will you develop your muscles? Hello, somebody. I'm not talking about physical muscles now. I'm talking about, your internal muscles. Amen. Your spiritual muscles. Hello, somebody. So challenges will help you to grow. Amen, somebody. You discover things about yourself you never knew. Listen. Abraham left his native land at the age of 75 years. Hello, somebody. Listen. The longer people get, the older people get, the more difficult for them to move. Hello, somebody. Have you noticed that? I mean, somebody relocating from somewhere to start a new life at the age of 70, chances are very slim. Amen, somebody. Because who will employ you? Amen, somebody. The best part of your productive life is gone, essentially. So people dread making such a kind of move. But you see, if God is involved, God is not man. Are you here this morning? Listen, the odds were against Father Abraham, but because he knew the voice of God, he could not ignore the voice of God. He knew what God has said. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, it's time to confront your challenges. Listen, you need to face your Esau. You need to face your Goliath. If you don't face Goliath, you will not discover the trophies, you will not discover the triumph of a better and a superior life. Amen, somebody. Amen. Listen, when Goliath presented himself 40 days and everybody was running backwards, only one young boy was courageous enough to face Goliath. His name was David. Do you know that's how he discovered his pathway to destiny? That's how he discovered his pathway to the palace. The pathway to the throne for you is the path along challenges. So stop running away. Tap on them and say, stop running away. I want to ask you a question this morning. What kind of challenges are before you? Now, what are you doing about those challenges? Do you know when Moses sent the spies to the promised land? You know there were 12 of them. 10 came with an evil report. Only Caleb and Joshua came with the report of faith. They were the ones who said, let us go up at once and take over the land. We are able. Amen, somebody. Amen. They were ready. They were not afraid of the giants. Listen, giants were really there. Amen, somebody. Amen. But they knew that greater is he that is in them than he that is what? They knew that if God be for us, who can be against us? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that if you are going to possess your inheritance, it's not like a stroll in the park. Amen, somebody? Amen. You must fight for what belongs to you. Amen, somebody? Amen. And it's high time you brace up yourself for the challenge. Look at them and say, it's time for you to confront those challenges. Tap them and say, I will face those challenges. There is something beautiful, there is something glorious on the other side of the challenge. You will not discover it until you face those challenges. So stop running away. Tap him and say, I'm not going to run anymore. You know, Jacob ran away from home. But listen to this, the reality of facing Esau became more real and real to him, especially the day when God said, go back home. Genesis 31 verse 3. He knew there's no how he will not face up to Esau. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you need to face those challenges now. Now, I tell people this. I said, if you don't pray now, you will still pray later. If you don't fast now, you will still fast later. It is better to do it now. Amen, somebody? Amen. Tap your neighbor and say, pay now. And play later. Say, if you choose to play now, tell them, I say, if you choose to play now, you will still pay later. So ask your neighbor, which one do you want? I think I want to pay now. I want to pay now so that I can play later. Look at your neighbor, say, I will face. Listen, let me tell you something. Those challenges that is standing before you, those things that looks like mountains that cannot be surmounted, those things that looks like giants that cannot be conquered, is a lie from the pit of hell. You will subdue them. Listen to this. You never know what God can do. You never know what you are made up of until you advance towards your giants. And I say this to you this morning. Every giant before you will bow. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to confront. So tap it up and say, start confronting your challenges. You know that's the way people even behave. They behave. They pretend as if to say the challenge is not there. Top of them say, you can deceive everybody, but you can't deceive yourself. Top of them say, face it now. Say, face it now. Say, you'll be better off in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
So, the first way out of the comfort zone is to face what? Face your challenges. Stop and say, face it now. Number two step, you must be ready to do more. There are three kinds of people in this life. Number one, people who do what they are told to do. Number two, people who don't do what they are told to do. Then number three, people who do more than what they are told to do. So I'm going to ask you a question. Which category do you belong to? Have you heard this saying before? That's what they asked me to do. Listen, if you are that kind of person, you don't want to use your initiative, you're going to stay in that place for long. Hello, somebody. That's what they told me to do. That's what they told me to do. Let's say, God made you for more. Tap your neighbor and say, God made me for more. Tap your neighbor and say, do you know you're made for more? Listen, none of us was made for little. None of us was made for little. None of us was made for less. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't just do the minimum. In fact, don't just do the maximum. Do more than what? Do more than the maximum. Listen, if you are going to get out of your comfort zone, you must be ready to do more. Ask your neighbor, are you ready to do more? I always say this to people. Listen, God is a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6. God is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek. Listen, God is the promoter of men. In the fine analysis, you see, you may be working in a system or operating in a system that is diabolic, or a system that, you know, I mean, is open to favorism here and there, a system that does not follow the natural principle of justice. But listen, if you know that you are dealing with God, God is looking at what you are doing. Listen, why do you think the Bible says God reward the work of our hands? God is going to reward everybody according to the work of their hands. The question is this, what are you doing? You see, they don't need to be watching your back. Your superior does not need to be where you are before you do what you're supposed to do. The Bible says if you have been faithful in another man's, let me say it properly. He says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man, nobody will give you your own. Tap and say, you want your own, Nabi? Luke 16:12. Everybody wants their own. But the question is, how are you treating what is not your own? How are you treating it? How are you handling it? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you want a better life? You want a superior life? Say, do more. Do more. Listen, one of the challenges with apologies, some of the young people of our generation, people don't want to expand themselves. People, listen, let me tell you, the path to greatness will require you to make sacrifices. The sacrifices along the way. The beautiful life, the glorious life, you will not fulfill your potential if you are lazy. Ecclesiastes 9:11, whatsoever your hands finds to do, how should you do it? Luke 9:62, whosoever lays his hands on the plow and looks back is not fit. Look at your neighbor and say, face front. Say, face your work. Say, face your calling. Say, face your assignment. Let's do more. Listen. If you are not doing more, you are not a candidate for success. David was doing more. How do I know that? His brothers were not ashamed. How can your youngest be the one in the bush with what? The sheep. You are doing what? We are doing Gai Gai, amen, somebody. We are doing that where the Egon, amen, somebody. Do you know that when the prophet came, when it matters, that's where they were rejected. And the person that they didn't give a chance asked me, where did they find David? When the day of enthronement came, he was in the place of what? Work. Say work. He was doing more than his brothers. His brothers said, we are professional soldiers. That does not mean you should be lazy. Amen, somebody. Amen. It's not every time that you fight war. In the days when there's no war, what do? You are crossing your legs. And here was this boy who was busy in the bush. That's where God remembered him. Look at your neighbor and say, are you doing more? Look at, ask your neighbor and say, is this all that you can do? There is more. God made us for more. But listen, if you don't expend yourself, if you don't give yourself to your work, you don't give yourself to your calling, you don't give yourself to your purpose, how will you break forth and break through? Look at the devil and say, today, I challenge you to start doing more. Somebody saw me some time ago. He said, we gave you an assignment. And even what you did is more. I said, I've been trained and I've been well taught. I will not just do what will be little. Amen? Or be enough. I will do more. Say, do more. If you start showing to your boss, you start showing to people around you that you are the kind of person that does more, I'm telling you, it wouldn't be too long when they think of someone that they are thinking of making probably the head or promoting, they will remember you. Look at your neighbor and say, nobody remembers. A lazy man. When I say do more, what do I mean? It means you must do more than what you normally do. Do more than what you normally do. When I say do more, it also means you must do more than what you are told to do. Listen, workers or employees who always say, this is what they tell me to do. They don't go far. Amen, somebody. Apologies to our civil service. That's the problem of a civil service. Amen, somebody. I'm doing my job. This is what they told me to do. Why did God give you a medulla? Why did God give you brains? Why did he give you a mind? Hello, somebody. It's not for decoration. Your mind was given to you so that you can use to benefit humanity. Amen? What does it mean to do more? To do more means to do more than is expected of you. Don't just do what is expected of you. Do more than what is expected of you. That's why I tell people it's better to over-prepare than to under-prepare. When you over-prepare, when you live a life of always over-preparing, you'll be ready for anything. Amen, somebody. But when you're just under-preparing, then you'll be falling short in some areas. Amen. What does it mean to do more? To do more means to be willing to stretch yourself. Ask your neighbor, when was the last time you stretched yourself? You need to stretch. Tap it and say, you need to stretch. Tap it and say, you must stretch. Stretch yourself. Go beyond the minimum. Go beyond what you normally do. Stretch yourself. You see, when you're involved in fasting and prayer, for instance, it's a way of stretching yourself. You are stretching yourself beyond the limits. When you give sacrificially, you are stretching yourself. That means stretch yourself. That's how you do more. How do you do more? By going the extra mile. Hello, somebody. Don't just go the mile. Go what? One more mile. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, from today, imbibe the culture of doing more. Let me say this. It pays to do more. It pays. It will pay off at the end of the day. If you want to move out of your comfort zone, you must do more. And may today mark the beginning of the experience of doing more in every area of life and ministry in Jesus' name. Look at the neighbor and say, I will do more. Please, let us imbibe the culture of doing more. Because if you remember that there is someone up there who is watching you. I always tell people this, that in the final analysis, men may give you a award, but God is the one who can truly reward you. He's the one. You see, that's why when God rewards, there's no mistake. Hello, somebody in the house? I said there's no mistake. Because he will reward you according to your work. Listen, if you are not proud of what you are doing, then it's time to what? To intensify your work. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, may you enter the fruits of your labors. If you believe what I say, say amen. Amen. So it's important to do more. How do you get out of the comfort zone? Number three, you need to face your fears. Stop managing your fears. Stop putting up with your fears. Amen, somebody? Stop putting up or stop running away from your fears. Some of us are evading our fears. That's not the solution. You need to face your fears. Job 3:25-26. Job said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. What I was greatly afraid of has happened to me. You see, what you fear, what you dread will come to pass. Amen, somebody. There are fears. Listen, we are not denying the fact that you will not face fears. There will be fears. But let me share with you, one way you break the power of your fear is to confront your fears. Look at your neighbor and say, from today. Say, from today. In the name of Jesus. Jehovah is giving you grace. Say it like you say, he's giving you grace and stamina to confront your fears. I want to ask you a question this morning. What are your fears? What are your fears? What is holding you down? What are your inhibitions? It's time to face them. It's time to face them. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom? You know, it has been discovered that more than 95% of the things that we fear are actually baseless. They are not true. Amen, somebody. I remember a story of a man who was taking a census in a particular neighborhood. And, you know, it was the countryside. It got to this side. It was in America. And this, you know, he started seeing so many signs. Beware of dogs, beware of dogs, beware of dogs. And so he got to this house that was, you know, on a large, you know, parcel of land, and when he saw the sign again, beware of dogs, I mean, he just felt, I mean, I think I should be wise enough, let me stay in my car. So he was honking the horn so that the person came out and, you know, was trying to take the details, you know, fill the questionnaire, get the details. So in the process of doing that, he saw this dog, you know, that these small dogs they call Chihaha, wait a minute, somebody, these small dogs. He just saw that small dogs come and lo and behold, came and the person said, excuse me. I see many beware of dogs. And I said, yes, yes, yes. He said, don't tell me that this is the dog. Amen, somebody. That you're talking about. He said, yes, actually it's the dogs. So I said, who will be afraid of this kind of dog? I mean, this is a dog I can even kick with my leg. He said, yes, nobody will be afraid of this kind of dog, but usually people are afraid of the signs. And that's true. Amen, somebody. I remember in those days, you know, some GRA areas in Lorraine, in those days, when you are going and you see beyond dogs, you know, you think twice if you want to enter the house. You say, amen, somebody. I know some people who took it from other dimension, beyond snakes. Amen, somebody. Oh, yeah, beyond snakes. Amen, somebody. At times, all those things are not really, amen, somebody. In fact, some people don't even have the dogs. At least in this part of the world. Amen. Someone said, I just put you there. So when people see beyond dogs, beyond snakes, you will think twice. Amen, somebody. So it's the signs that people are really afraid of. That's why somebody said fear is false evidence appearing what? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, until you face your fears, you won't dominate them. How do we face our fears? How do we deal with those things that want to keep us? You know, there are all kinds of fear. What if I fail? What if they reject me? People don't like to be disappointed. People don't like to be, disappointed or let down. But let me tell you something. Welcome to the real world. Amen, somebody. Hello. Are you still here? I say hello, somebody. Welcome to what? The real world. If they reject you, that does not mean that God has rejected you. Are you here this morning? People are afraid of the dark. I was checking out something, was it last week or so? Some of the, common fears that people have. The first on the list is social phobias. People are afraid, At times people go to a place, people say, I don't want to eat, I don't want them to see my mouth. Amen, somebody. People are so afraid. Amen. People are afraid of flying. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. And flying has been adjourned to be what? The safest means of transport. In fact, I was reading something which says you're more likely to choke, on eating and die in the process than die in a commercial air flight accident. Amen, somebody. Hello. Someone say, really? And for, as well as we Africans at times, amen, somebody. When you see us boarding plane, or when we board planes, or where is that plane? Someone said, how do you know we're Africans? I know, amen, somebody. By the reaction at times, well, you know that these are our people, amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. Some years ago, I think it was in Calabar. I was to go to Calabar to preach, and we left Lagos, and along the line, we just ran into the turbulence that was really, really bad. Amen. And, it was as if to say everybody was in unison. Amen, somebody. And I meant it. It's like, did we rehearse this or did they practice this? You just had blood of Jesus, like a chorus. It just came across. I almost busted out in laughter, but of course you can't be laughing in that kind of atmosphere. People think, yeah, something's wrong with you. So I had to keep my laughter to myself, but it was like everybody practiced a blow, just came out at the same time. And come and see when the plane landed. Oh, hala barakasa. You know what I mean, amen, somebody. The kind of things that was coming out of people's mouths. Amen. I said, amen. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, there's nothing to fear. Some people are afraid of enclosed places. People have all kinds of fears. Fear of insects too. Amen, somebody. These are some of the fears that people are really, fear of dogs, fear of snakes, fear of storms, fear of needles, fear of heights. Hello, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, whatever fear. Whatever fear it is, face it, face it. You know that fear of, what if it doesn't succeed? What if? Some say, half bread is better than none. A board at hand is what two in the bush. Hello, somebody? That's why you're staying in the comfort zone. You know you need to make a move, but the fear, says the fear, somebody. In the name that is above every other name, every stronghold of fear is broken over you today in Jesus' name. How do you face your fears? How do you deal with your fears? The first way you deal with your fears is that you need to get out of your boat. Step on the water. What do I mean? Do the thing that you are afraid of. That's how you paralyze the power of fear. Jesus was walking on the ice. Peter saw him. He was the only one who was courageous. Master, if you are the one, tell me to come. Jesus said, come. Matthew 14, 20 to 30. Do you know that he walked on the waters as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus? Look at the neighbor on top. You never say, face your fears. Until you face your fears, you won't become fearless. You see, what we call courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is mastery and what? It's mastery and resistance to our fears. Courageous. Listen, when you say somebody is courageous, it does not mean that the person is not afraid. No. It just means that the person has what? Learned how to what? Face his fears. And as you face your fears, you become fearless in the name of Jesus. Number two, how do you face your fears? Take it to God in prayers. Do you know that praying the Holy Spirit is one of the ways to build up confidence? Jude 1 verse 20 says, but you beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Spirit. Father Abraham faced his fears. That's why he left all the Chaldees and back on the journey that will look like the journey of the what? Unknown. But I can tell you that because he put his trust in God, he overcame his fears. Psalm 56 verse 3, David said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in God. A great theologian, Karl Barth, said, courage is fear that has said his prayers. You see, when you take your fears to the place of prayer, your fears loses its grip over you. Prayer has a way of demystifying. Prayer has a way of paralyzing. Prayer has a way of breaking the struggle of fear. And as you pray this morning, every struggle of fear shall be shattered in the name of Jesus. And then ask yourself, how did Jacob find the confidence to face Esau? You know, he prayed before that day. He prayed. He actually had an encounter with God. It was like a prayer encounter. He wrestled with God at the breaking of the day. Listen, you see, if you learn to prevail with God, I mean, if you learn to pray, you will also find power to prevail with men. That's what happened to him. He stood in the place. The same Esau that he was afraid of, because he has stood in the place of prayer, he was able to confront them. I declare over you this morning, as you engage the weapon of prayer, all those things that you thought you could not do will begin to fall like a pack of cards in Jesus' name. How do you face your fear? Number three, fight your fears in the name of the Lord. You know one thing that David kept saying when he stood before Goliath, I come against you in what? In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of what? The armies of Israel, that what? It did not come in his name. It came in the name of the Lord. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they are what? Listen to this. The name of God, the name of Jesus is stronger than the name of fear. And I declare over you today, as you begin. Listen, many people don't know that you can speak to your fear. I want to challenge you this morning. Start speaking to your fears. Start renouncing. Start rebuking. You will discover that the power and the struggle of fear will begin to break over you in the name of Jesus. Sometimes say today, I will call my fears by their name. And in the name of the Lord, I will walk over them. In the name of the Lord, I am walking over them. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So tap your neighbor if you want to get out of your comfort zone. You need to face your fears. Ask your neighbor, are you ready to face your fears? Say, I will in Jesus' name. Number four, how do we come out of the comfort zone? You must be willing to attempt new things. You cannot get out of your comfort zone if you don't want to attempt new things. For Father Abraham leaving where he was raised up and going somewhere he was not familiar with was a new experience. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no how you will discover new territories if you don't lose sight of the old or current territories that you have now. Say after me, say, in the name of Jesus, I let go of the old. I am open and I embrace the new. Let me say this, the new is better than the old. If you are going to come out of the comfort zone of life, you must be ready to attempt new things. There are things you probably have never done before. You probably never prayed 1 hour in your life. Amen, somebody. Never fasted in your life. Amen, somebody. Glory be to God. Never won a soul. Listen to these. As you attempt to do this thing, you will discover that you will break into new territories. Somebody was asking me this question, and I was having a good laugh at one time, but at the same time I was giving the person the right answer. You see, the truth of the matter is, for every progress or every work of progress in your life, you need to understand that you have a part to play. Amos 3 verse 3, can two people walk together except they agree? Are you ready to do your part? There are forces. Tom said there are forces that are seeking to limit you. Do you know that the enemy is trying to contain you? But tap your neighbor and say, he will not succeed in Jesus' name. If Satan can stop, cannot stop you from moving forward, he will try to contain you. What does that mean? He will try to tell you that, don't go beyond this place. At least you have tried, you have moved ahead, but don't go beyond this place. But tap your neighbor and say, the heart is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Say, I refuse to allow Satan to contain me. We're in a warfare. Whether you believe it or not, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. That's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. To the pulling down of strongholds, there are forces who are not interested in your well-being, your progress. There are things that are trying to limit and contain you. But in the name that is above every other name, you are breaking new grounds in the name of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, I will attempt new things. You see, attempting new things is one of the ways you break out of the comfort zone. And when I say attempting new things, what do I mean? Number one, you must be open to change. Most people resist change, even if it's the change that will benefit them. I say it again. Most people do what? Resist change. It's not easy for a man who is 75 years old to relocate. It's a difficult change to make. But listen to this. It's a change when you look at it, benefit of hindsight. That was the best thing Abraham ever did in his life. So look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, be open to change. That's how you attempt new things. Number two, how do you attempt new things? Be ready to try new and better ways of doing things. Listen, you must have what I call an adventurous mentality. There's this feeling. Somebody was showing me something. Oh, I'm not sure whether somebody said it to me. This video. You know what they call scuba diving? Amen. Anybody? Scuba diving? Can you tell us, sir? Amen. 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 I'll be prophet. I want to have something, sir. Okay. I thought prophet would have something. Now, have you ever seen people attempt to go high to a high cliff and they just dive inside the water? Amen, somebody? Somebody was not telling me that it's very rare to see a black man do that thing. And that's true, amen, somebody. That's true because, we black people, we always like to play safe. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. These people fly from outside the plane. I'm trying to remember how to call it again. Okay, skydiving. Amen, somebody. Rarely will you see a black man do that to, amen, somebody. Glory be to Jesus. Is it because of our makeup? We just have your mocha. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to have an adventurous mentality. Many people don't like adventure. No. I just like to stick with what I know. Amen, somebody. There was a time I was telling my wife that I said she needs to develop a missionary tummy. You know what they call it? Missionary tummy. A missionary stomach or tummy is a tummy that is open to all kinds of food. Amen, somebody. Because as a missionary, if they give you aku, if they tell you that's what you are eating, you must eat it. Amen, somebody. And you go somewhere else and they give you two shinkafa, you must also what? Eat it. You can't say, waiting with this. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. So look at this. Have an adventurous mentality. You must see yourself as a missionary. Amen, somebody. Because of being involved in missions here and there, I'm open to all kinds of, food. Amen, somebody. There's some kind of food that some people cannot eat. Amen, somebody. I've eaten all kinds of food because of traveling here and there. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. There was one day somebody went somewhere and he was telling me, I said, what is this? I said, you can't be pointing your finger in the hand, the presence of your guests. I said, what is this? He said, oh, so I come by. I said, you better keep your comment to yourself. Better keep it to yourself. Lest your host get hungry. Because the person has gone all the way to do this. I said, but if it's bitter, you will use fire. I said, really? Glory be to God. I was telling my wife a very funny experience. There was some time ago I went somewhere. I stayed with a friend of mine. The wife is almost like a British citizen. She is actually. Let me say she is. No, she's black, but she was born and bred there. And I just discovered that whenever they brought the meals and all the time, it's always very sweet. There's always cream. So there was one day I was saying, I had to use wisdom. Say wisdom. I didn't tell, of course, when she starts, oh, lovely, thank you very much, I appreciate. So I had to call my friend and said, don't you have some pepper in this house? Amen. some pepper. Everything just sweet. Let me spice it up a little bit. Just sweet. Cream, everything, cream. Even they brought up, they said, this is soup. This thing is too sweet now. Of course, I didn't say it. I was doing well. In my mind. I just tell my friend, please give me some. So when she knew, henceforth, she started bringing out this Ghanaian pepper. Amen, somebody. And by the time you even put, I was even saying, this is not even like our own pepper. Amen, somebody. It's not that I'm really a pepper person, really, because you know, pepper are in levels. There's some pepper you hit, your nose will be running and you almost forget your name also. I'm not in that area, amen, somebody. Glory be to God. But let it just be spicy, a little bit. Say spicy. Look at it, say, have an adventurous mentality. That is part of attempting new things. Number three. Be willing to do what you are not familiar with. Be willing to do what you are not familiar with. If you feel that God has called you to public speaking, for instance, and you're afraid of, people, I can tell you the way to break that fear is to start what? Speaking before people. How can I attempt new things? Number four, be willing to learn a new skill or expertise. These are ways by which you step out of the comfort zone. Be willing to acquire a new skill or expertise. Number five, because of our time, how can you attempt new things? Be willing to learn, unlearn, and relearn. Somebody said the literate of the 21st century is somebody who is not willing to learn, unlearn, and relearn. That's something you must always be doing in this century. You must keep learning, unlearning, relearning. Then number six, be ready to learn from be ready to learn from what others are doing. That's how you attempt new things. Listen to this. There are others who are doing better. There are others who are doing what you are doing at a higher level. You will benefit a lot if you have what? If you are willing to learn something new. Amen, somebody? Amen. Then number seven, alter your routine and schedule from time to time. This is how to attend new things. At times I alter my schedule. I have a schedule. Every day there's things I do. At times I just alter it. I rejig it. Amen, somebody. I show up earlier some other places because it's easy to get into a rut. Hello? If you have been doing something over and over, you can get into a rut and you are stuck. The way to come out is to do what? Alter. Say alter, somebody. Alter. There are things that I do to keep my devotion with God regularly. I do some things to alter it. I don't follow the schedule. So that what? I want to break out. Because at times I discover that I'm in a comfort zone. I'm already comfortable in that place. I'm not willing to try something new. So I alter my routine. Look at you and say, alter your routine. If you are too predictable, it will be easy for the enemy to what? To even get at you. Hello, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap, say, are you willing to attempt new things? Then finally, before we pray, how can I get out of the comfort zone? Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We are told about Father Abraham, Genesis 12 verse 4, when God had told him all the things, he told him, get out of your country, get out of your kindred, get out of your father's house, in obedience, verse 4. The Bible says, so Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to discover life at the fullest, if you want to fulfill your potential, you must step out of your comfort zone. And the way to do that is to obey whatever God is laying on your heart. Hear me and hear me good this morning. God is the maker and the creator of your life. God knows, God has planned your life. Your life is not an accident. So whatever instruction that God has given to you is, listen to this, he gave the instruction because that instruction will take you to your promised land. Most of the time we submit or we surrender what God has said to us to public opinion. Let me say this to you. God's will is not as a result of a consensus. Hello, somebody? No, no. God's will is supreme. The apostle said, judge it. I may judge you among yourself whether it's better to obey man than God. Acts 4 verse 19. Then in Acts 5:29, he said, we will rather obey God than man. If you ask me, what should I choose? Obeying God versus obeying man. I will tell you, obey God. Why? Because God is superior to man. Let me say this. In the final analysis, your life is in God's hands. In the final analysis, God knows you more than anybody. Listen, I know that we form associations, alliances, we have acquaintances in the journey of life. But hear me, nobody knows your life better than God. And you make a mistake when you surrender yourself to the opinion of others. Ah, I said, this is what they said. Ah, they said this. Ah, so that's why I'm not going to do what God says. Come on, you are limiting yourself. Listen, at times what God says may not make sense. How does a 75-year-old man live where he had been known all this while? I say, hey, where are you going to say, I am relocating. I say, relocating to where? I say, well, I don't even know. God says, he will tell me when I get there. I say, you be mumu, amen. You know they say, a fool at 40 is what? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Where are you going to? I say, I don't even know, but God says, he will show me when I get there. Look, read Genesis 12 verse 1. To a land that I will show you. So it's when he gets there that the what? He will know. Let me say this to you. The instructions of God can be strange at times. The instructions of God can be awkward. But listen to this. What God says at times may not make sense, but it will produce signs. I have learned over the years, I would rather obey God than obey man. Amen, somebody? If you follow the instinct, if you follow your instinct, if you follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you will never arrive at a bad destination. You will arrive at the right destination. You will not miss your purpose in the name of Jesus. Whatever step you need to take, whatever decision you need to take, whatever move you need to make in getting out of your comfort zone, I pray for you this morning that you will find the courage and the strength to do such in the name of Jesus. You will obey God and not the sentiments or the emotions of people in the name of Jesus. You will do what God says do, so that you can find yourself at the next phase of your life and destiny in the name of Jesus. It may be difficult, it may be challenging, but a better life awaits you if you will find the strength and the courage this morning to make that move in the name of Jesus. It is not as difficult as you think. God will not abandon you. God will not forsake you. God is just trying to teach you how to walk on waters. God is just trying to teach you how to depend on Him. God is just trying to teach you how to lean on Him and how to stop looking unto man. God is just trying to teach you on how to keep your eyes on Him so that you can get to your promised land. There are distractions. Hear me. There are distractions in life. There are things that seeks to take us of course, but stay focused on Him who called you. Stay focused on Him who made you. Stay focused on Him who saved you. You will get to your promised land. I declare this morning that every shackle and every limitation of the comfort zone is breaking off you in Jesus' name. Rise up on your feet, lift up your two hands to heaven, say them and say, Heavenly Father, I come into agreement with your plan and your purpose for my life. I declare this morning that I refuse to settle. I refuse to stay. I refuse to live in the comfort zone. I reach out. I step out by faith because I know you have a better life. You have a better purpose. You have a higher calling for me. And this morning, I receive the motivation and the strength to obey you. Help me, Lord. Go ahead and begin to pray this morning.